In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us and happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Brett.
I'm Brett Molina. I play video games. My favorite Valentine's Day candy ever is Cinnamon Red Hots.
And I'm Brian Truitt. I watch movies, and my favorite candy is the Whitman sampler.
Good old
But only
Whitman's.
only like about 40% of the Whitman sampler, because 60% is like junk.
Don't they have like a small box, though, where you can get like almost a mini sample?
Yeah, but you got to get the big ones.
Yeah.
If you have a wife like myself, like mine, who likes candy and stuff and chocolate.
Because
then you can pick and choose and just be like, here's the breast. And I'm just gonna have the stuff with nuts in it.
Lovely. Just a reminder, friends, Kelly is off for the next 2 weeks at TCA's. Kelly, we miss you. Hope you're having fun out there in LA. If this is your first time listening, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. If you're on Apple Podcasts, it would bring a lot of love in our hearts if you would write a quick review about the show. By doing that, you'll not only help other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us as a special bonus, you get shout outs on our next episode. Now, this also extends to Twitter, too. We just got a really cool response from Bryn Romella. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. Who writes, "Been listening to Mothership Pod all day while I work, and my new dream is to talk about nerdy pop culture with this crew." Thank you so very much, Bryn. That is super appreciative.
Dream big.
We love it. Yes.
Dream big.
Exactly. By the way, if you have a show idea you want to share with us, please do. We take all requests. So see, try it out. Let us know what you think about the show. It's all upside for you guys. Let us know what you think. We love the feedback. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod. You can email us too at mothershippod@usatoday.com. This week, guys, we've dimmed the lights. We brought out the candles. We brought out our fanciest Whitman samplers because this is our Valentine's Day episode. It's about to get real romantic up in here.
Me and you, Brett. It's all about me and you.
It's what I've always dreamed of. Always. What better way to fuel the flames of romance than to talk about romantic comedies, rom-coms? I feel like these movies have been around as long as time. But a lot has changed over the years with this movie genre. Since you are the film expert, we just had the State of the Union address. If you had to do the State of the Rom-Com Movie Genre Union, what would you say?
I wouldn't have as much immigration talk, probably.
I hope not.
Not as many walls. Not as many walls being built up.
Well, there you go.
In the romantic comedy genre. It's actually pretty good. With Crazy Rich Asians, which came out last year, I think it redefined the genre. Because I think the genre has, you know, I think it went through, in the 80s, it was kind of good, and then in the late 90s it was kind of spotty. If it was from Britain, it was pretty good. If it was like a Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks thing, it was like a 50-50 chance of being good. And then there's just been a lot of, you know, kind of nonsense over the years, and there's more nonsense coming next week. Isn't it romantic with Rebel Wilson and Liam Hemsworth, the middle Hemsworth brother, I believe, I can't remember. And so that looks terrible. I have not seen that yet. But Crazy Rich Asians, kind of like, there was the representation angle, which was important. But also, it's just kind of like it knew what to do with love and relationships and things like that in a cool way. And, you know, conflict where, you know, good conflict, not like just kind of like forced conflict, like, you know, ghost of girlfriend's past or something, you know, something stupid like that. And so that makes me feel good. Other things don't make me feel as good. Like, isn't it a romantic? Doesn't make me feel as good.
So it kind of feels like not a ton has changed in terms of you're going to have that mix of really good classic rom-coms with a lot of not so great
stuff. Yeah, I think that's always going to be the way it is. I think there's going to be, you know, cheapo ways of doing things. You know, you're always going to have like romantic comedies that are just going to be like too cheesy and just too on the nose and things. But you'll have things every now and then that will pop, and hopefully those are the things like Love Actually did, which, you know, kind of it raises that game to a certain degree, and people kind of like, you know, it changes people's minds about things and like inspires people to do other sorts of like these movies.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the ingredients that you think make a good rom-com? For me, it's like I like to lean more toward the comedy part than the romance part.
That's shocking.
You know, right? But it's like you said, like some of them can be cheesy. And I find the ones that are, they're romantic, but they're also just hilarious is, I think, a really key component. And it's obvious in the name, but I do feel like some of those rom-coms can kind of be a little funny, but they're very, very like super, to me, they feel a little cheesy at times. Whereas some of the stuff that I like and that we're going to talk about later, I feel like really goes much harder into the comedy part.
I think they're inherently cheesy. So I think you have to embrace at least a certain amount of that.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of what you do with it. And you make it funny, and you use the cheese, you spread it out. You don't overdo it. You don't just, you know, lightly touch it. You know, you spread it out. But you manipulate emotions. You know, a good filmmaker will manipulate, like Love Actually, will manipulate the emotions and stuff and have like serious stuff and have funny stuff. And by the time it ends, you know, you're invested in it. And it slaps you in the face at the end with the emotion of it, but you didn't know you were being manipulated. That's kind of the best one. When you're going through, you don't really know what's been going on. He's manipulating you the whole time. But then you realize, and you're like, okay, that's cool. Rather than like in the first 10 minutes when it feels like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that just like, they're just yanking your chain a little bit. And you're like, oh, well, you're just trying too hard.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's dig into some of our favorites. I'll start with one of mine. Here's a clip.
Peter, as you know, I love you.
Are you breaking up with me?
We're leading different lives. It's like you're standing on the dock and I'm in the lake.
Sarah, I swear to God, I'll jump in the lake like a merman.
Do you want to put some clothes on?
Would you like to pick out the outfit that you break up with me in?
Sexy crime fighter Sarah Marshall has been spotted cozying up to singer and notorious Lothario Aldous Snow.
She's dating somebody. And until I do the same thing, I'm going to feel like I want to die.
I think that went really well.
Are you crying?
I had sex with this woman who I barely even know. I'm really scared that I have an STD, Doc.
That was from the 2008 movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall. It stars Jason Segel, Kristen Bell as Sarah Marshall, Mila Kunis, Russell Brand, Jonah Hill. Jason Segel plays Peter. And he and Kristen Bell are this Hollywood power couple. He is a composer for a TV show that she's working on, and she is an actress. And basically, it's like a CSI, Law & Order kind of knockoff show. She breaks up with him. He's distraught and decides he's going to try to escape to Hawaii to clear his head and just trying to get over this.
Everywhere I look, I'm reminded of her.
Why don't you go on a vacation?
I could go to Hawaii.
Welcome to Turtle Bay and enjoy your stay.
Of course, also in Hawaii at the same hotel is Kristen Bell with her new boyfriend, who's played by Russell Brand, Aldous Snow.
Peter, what are you doing here?
Came here to murder you.
This is a disaster.
Go someplace else.
I'm not leaving here. It'll look like I'm running away.
Wait, why are you whispering? You're not following him, are you?
Oh, God.
Get out of there. Go to your room.
So that complicates things. Peter ends up getting involved with Mila Kunis, who plays our concierge at the front desk at the hotel he's at. So there's just all this craziness and awkwardness and stuff like that with the breakup. I don't know. I just think this movie's absolutely hysterical. I think there's so many side characters in this movie that are great. There's Kenneth from 30 Rock, who plays a newlywed. And, you know, they're very much seem like a super Christian couple. They've never had sex before. And so they're just kind of figuring things out. And then you have even Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd plays the random surfer dude. Mm-hmm. Who seems completely stoned the whole time, but he's great. And even he's in it in like maybe 5-10 minutes. But he's fantastic. But there are just so many great characters in it. And the other bonus too is Peter is wanting to get away from the composing and focus on a musical, which is based on Dracula, which is kind of how the movie wraps up. And it's one of the funniest parts too. Bill Hader's in it also. He's one of his good friends. So it's just a funny movie through and through. It's one of the reasons, one of the rom-coms that I really like, because like I said before, I really like the comedy stuff. And it is romantic and it's sweet at times in its own way, in its own little bubble, but it's just really, really funny too.
Well, and that's one of the movies where I talked about where kind of the emotional stuff is like, is underneath all the superficial hilarity. And by the time they get to the real Dracula musical, it's obviously played for laughs and everything, but it kind of means something because like you've been on the journey with this guy. You kind of like, you've sat there like his ex and her new boyfriend have been having sex, you know, kind of like next door and been listening to it. So, you know, everything kind of wraps up with that Dracula musical. Dracula musical taken out of context, it is ridiculous. But in the context of the movie, it works because of where it comes and when it happens and everything because of that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's my first pick for rom-com. Brian, what is your pick?
Oh, here's a clip.
Welcome, Prime Minister. This is Natalie.
Hello, David. I mean, sir.
20 years ago, you'd have been just his type.
So I just talked about it. It's Love Actually, which is from 2003 and stars pretty much every British actor ever. If you want British actors, this is the one. I mean, it's also a Christmas movie. And it was going to be part of our Liam Neeson tribute episode, which we're not going to quite do this week.
Yeah, that has been blasted off into an emergency pod and like sent off into space.
Maybe like by Taken 6 we'll do one. But there's so many stories. You know, kind of there's the British guy who wants to go to, he can't find love in London, so he's going to go to like some anywhere in America and find love automatically. There's the prime minister who falls in love with his assistant. There's Liam Neeson plays a dad whose wife just died and his kid is dealing with his own lovelorn stuff. There's Keira Knightley is just got married, but yeah, like, so her husband's best friend has always acted like weird to her, Andrew Lincoln. But like they figured out that like he's had a crush on her the whole time. So there's a lot of serious stuff going on. And Laura Linney plays like a woman who, you know, she just wants to find love too, but like her brother is in like a facility. So she needs to always be kind of on call for him too. It's really funny, but there's a lot of stuff that's like real serious. And, you know, and meanwhile, they're like manipulating you all this time with all these things and they're all intertwining. But by the end, you know, the rousing music and like, you know, the little kids running through Heathrow trying to find his little crush. And it's like, man, you're bawling. Everybody's bawling because it's just like, you know, they've played you like a fiddle the whole time.
I feel like this movie was a big breakout for a lot of these actors. Keira Knightley, I think, was that was one of her
first.
Well,
she was in Pirates of the Caribbean by that point.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, I mean, that was kind of like. She was in it for like 5 minutes, but it was still a big thing for her. Liam Neeson's in it. Emma Thompson's in it. Just everybody's in it. Hugh Grant's in it. So many people are in it. So the other thing about it is, too, is especially Gary Marshall, rest in peace, he tried to like redo this like concept like two or three other times with like New Year's Day. And I think Valentine's Day was one of them. And it doesn't work. There's a new movie called Berlin I Love You, which comes out today. Also has Keira Knightley in it. And it's like, you know, these 10 or 20 stories that are all based in Berlin. And just kind of, again, it's like things, some things are funny, some things are not. But it's more about kind of like love as not just romantic love, but like love as compassion, love as, you know, kind of like different kinds of love. But it doesn't work either. It's just, if for some reason, Love Actually is the only one to like figured out its own formula to do it right, and like no one else has done it.
So two things. First, that this is the movie that had the scene where I think it's Andrew Lincoln who's out in front of her house with the cards that's been memed like 1,000 times over. I think this is also the start of the Hugh Grant rom-com run, because he had done Notting Hill already.
Yeah, he had done Notting Hill already, because that was like late 90s.
I feel like this is kind of the middle of his run, because I felt like he had a run of a couple movies where it was
almost like the tail end of it. He was almost brought in as like kind of like he had had that run with like, I think, was it My Best Friend's Wedding, or was I'm thinking of some wedding one.
Four Weddings and a Funeral,
yes,
maybe.
Yes. That was all like, you know, kind of like in the 90s, I believe. So he had had his run. So I feel like he was brought in as like kind of like, you know, almost as a nod to these other movies where he's kind of playing it straight as a prime minister. And then, but then you have the kind of the moment where, when he's alone, he like dances through, you know, kind of his place and not acting very prime ministerly. But I feel like that's kind of a nod to everything that he did before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Pick number two for me. Here's a clip.
I could start by dating a guy and then drive him away, doing everything girls do wrong in relationships.
I can sell myself to any woman.
I'd like to see you prove that.
You would.
Make a woman fall in love with you.
You're on.
So who's the lucky girl?
Her.
Her who?
Her in the gray dress.
Hi. I'm Benjamin Barry.
Andy Anderson.
Oh, you are already falling in love with me.
I'm going to make you wish you were dead.
This is from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which came out in 2003. It stars Kate Hudson, who is a magazine writer, and she's writing a feature basically on the premise of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Matthew McConaughey is her counterpart. He plays an ad executive who is trying to get this big, I think, diamond account or something like that with a diamond merchant. And so he makes a bet that's basically like, I can make any woman you choose fall in love with me in 10 days. So it ends up being Kate Hudson. So obviously there's the clash. And that's also what makes it hilarious, because she's trying really hard to like push him away. He's trying really hard to get her to fall in love with him. So all these different things happen. There's the classic scene with the love fern, where she buys him a fern to keep in his house. And she randomly comes over one night while he's playing poker with his friends and pulls out the love fern. Our love fern, you let it die. And that whole scene is classic. But there's a lot of other funny moments where they're just constantly going back and forth with each other. But then they eventually fall in love and you know, get to know each other. And, you know, then you get the happy ending at the end. But I liked it for really random reasons. First off, they both were basketball fans and I like basketball. So that was kind of a hook. I was like, oh, okay, cool. They like basketball. This is neat. And then the
she makes him go to like a Celine Dion concert too, right?
So she talks about having front row seats at the Garden or something and says tickets to the Garden for whatever. And Matthew McConaughey thinks it's for a Knicks game. Right. And then he goes and it's for Celine Dion.
I remember that.
So classic. And then Catherine Hahn is in this movie, who is awesome. I love her. I think this is the first movie I saw her in. And then eventually she started doing stuff like Step Brothers and stuff. She's absolutely hilarious. I think she's one of the funniest actresses out there. So that was the other random reason. But I thought the chemistry between Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey was really great. And I thought they got along really well. And just all the scenes they had where they were going back and forth. There's another one, too, where Kate Hudson, again, trying to drive him away, makes like a photo book of their future family. And so is taking random pictures and just cutting out their faces. And I guess she found some app or software that like could meld their faces together so you could see what their kids looked like.
I used Photoshop to composite our faces together. Oh, that's our wedding. You're the kids in Switzerland. You're loodling.
Our kids are really attractive.
And Matthew McConaughey the whole time is just like, you know, hey, I still care about you and blah, blah, blah. So just everything in that is fantastic. So.
There's a lot for dudes in that movie, I feel like, as a dude.
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of like, you know, because dudes get dragged to a lot of these things. You know, like something like Hope Floats, where you just want to kill yourself after you watch it. Whereas like this movie, it's just like there's a lot there and with his friends and everything. And I feel like, you know, even though it is kind of like 50-50 in terms of perspective, it does lean a little bit more toward Matthew McConaughey's point of view, I feel.
Well, that's another thing you bring up that's interesting with romantic comedies is I feel like there is a little more for guys that make it funny. And when I was growing up, a lot of the rom-coms I remember, they felt very cheesy. It's like, I wouldn't want to watch this. But I felt like now they've added a lot more humor and a lot more, I think, perspective that guys could get into. And I think, you know, they just seem a lot more interesting. But I don't know if that's just me or what, but it just, yeah, that's something I've noticed. It seems to be happening anyway with a lot of the recent run. I'm talking about 2000s and stuff.
Well, I think 80s and 90s, I think they were almost used as counter-programming because you grew up in the same movies I did. You know, really macho action films, very manly films. And the romantic comedies were almost like an answer to that, where they leaned more feminine than anything. You look at something like, even I like Notting Hill a lot. But that leans heavily feminine, even in the kind of the Hugh Grant parts. But it seems like, you know, kind of later on with like things like Sarah Marshall, it is much more equal and maybe even kind of like leaning a little bit more guy because they feel like, okay, well, you know, it may, you know, even like 51% guy, a woman's going to be fine with that. Whereas, you know, it used to be like probably like 75% woman to like 25% man, just because of what, you know, kind of as because it was used as that kind of programming.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brian, what's your next pick?
Here's a clip.
I turn on my computer. I go online.
Welcome.
And my breath catches in my chest until I hear three little words.
You got mail.
What is going on with you?
Is it infidelity if you're involved with someone on email?
This woman is the most adorable creature I've ever been in contact with.
Have you had sex?
Of course not. I don't even know
her. I mean cyber sex.
No.
Well, no, don't do it. The minute you do, they lose all respect for you.
Okay, and so, like I mentioned, the Hanks Ryan era of romantic comedies, which I Sleepless in Seattle, I effing hate. I effing hate that movie so bad. But You've Got Mail was actually a really good one. It was from 1998, and it was actually a remake of Shop Around the Corner, which is a Christmas film with Jimmy Stewart, and it's based in Turkey, which is really weird. But this is like I feel like this is the better one, where it's Tom Hanks plays, so he's part of like this kind of like Fox chain of bookstores. It's kind of like Barnes & Noble, and they've built a new kind of like Barnes & Noble kind of big book superstore in the city. And Meg Ryan owns this bookshop around the corner, you know, kind of really small. She inherited from her mom. And, you know, and it's in the era of like Amazon, you know, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, things like that, where every, you know, kind of like these big bookstores are selling, you know, books for cheaper than everybody else. So the more masses go there, and, you know, kind of she feels like she's being run out of town. So, you know, kind of they butt heads a lot. But meanwhile, online, they're falling in love because they've met each other, you know, kind of like CompuServe or AOL. I think with AOL.
You've Got Mail.
Yeah, You've Got Mail. So they fall in love online. So meanwhile, they're talking about, you know, kind of like their own professional and personal, you know, lives online to each other, even while like in real life, they freaking can't stand each other. And then, of course, you know, kind of they do fall in love and there's all kinds of stuff like that.
Joe Fox, I'm in the book business.
I am in the book business. What should I have said to a man who has made my professional life a misery?
Tell me something, really. How do you sleep at night?
Fight to the death.
In life, they're at odds.
She's beautiful, but she's a pill.
Online, they're in love.
Do you think we should meet?
I know just where I'm going.
Meet?
But it's interesting, too, because there's a universal charm, I feel, that transcends the lovey-dovey stuff. Like Dave Chappelle plays Tom Hanks' like best friend. But he's almost kind of like the grounded best friend, because he's kind of the first one that notices, hey, you know, she's the woman you've been talking to the whole time, and kind of like and trying to like get him through that and just trying to help him.
I'm going to say hello, I'm going to have a cup of coffee, and then I'm going to split. That's what I'm going to do. Why am I even doing this? Why am I compelled to even meet her?
Relax. You're just taking it to the next level.
Huh. And I'm not going to stay that long anyway. I already said that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
No.
Steve Zahn's in it as somebody on like Meg Ryan's side. So all the best friends are kind of cool. But also it's, and I was thinking about this the other day, because now, like, you know, Barnes & Noble doesn't really exist. I mean, it's kind of been run, and there's still Barnes & Nobles and stuff, but it's almost been run out of town by like Amazon to a certain degree. So I feel like you could do like a sequel now with Jeff Bezos of Amazon. Like now he fought, like Tom Hanks is out of the picture or something. Maybe he died, and Jeff Bezos falls in love with Meg Ryan, because Meg Ryan like was working at the Fox Books. I think in the children's section or something at the end.
Does it end with him getting delivered in a giant Amazon box or by drone or by something?
Yeah,
I think it's the only way I can support this. Yeah, I just think that movie's interesting because of the tech era. It's like, I'd like to show people that it's like, look at this kind of stuff you used in like 1998. It's crazy.
Well, no, because it was like, it was in that weird little time, you know, kind of like 3 to 4 year period where the internet wasn't a thing, but yet it was, you know, it's like, look, half people used it and no one was really using it for dating quite yet. I mean, it was just like the beginning of that.
I think it was literally just email and web browsing, and
yeah,
that's probably as far as you got.
Yeah, there was no browsers or anything.
Not really, no.
I think it was like I think the first time I used a browser was in 98. After it was probably 98, 99.
Yeah. So, well, there you go. Okay, listeners, it's your turn. What's your favorite rom-com? Got any cool plans for Valentine's Day? Let us know on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us at Mothership Pod. You can also tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And you can find Kelly at K-Lawls, K-L-A-W-L-S. She's at TCA. Give her a shout out, say hi, all that fun stuff. Don't forget, you can email the crew as well. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That'll do it this week. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilots slash producers of the Mothership this week, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, how about you leave us a rating or a review? It helps other people find the podcast, and you would be our Valentine forever. We'd greatly appreciate it. If Apple Podcasts isn't your jam, you can find us on SoundCloud or Stitcher or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. We'll be there. Until next Friday, nerds out.
Later.